It's the All Songs Considered Plus One podcast.
I couldn't resist.
Be there.
I'm here. I'm there.
Oh, that's our honor to Robin Hilton, who claims to have paid lots of money for our little audio logo.
Yeah.
I think he did it in his bedroom.
It was worth it. Whatever money or time was sunk into that thing.
Right. So these little plus one podcasts are little focused ideas, things we've been thinking about. And you, for months now, have been thinking about this series, Jacob Gans, about streaming music, and we have a series online.
Years, probably, I've been thinking about this topic ever since that moment of realizing that streaming music was going to replace owning music. For a lot of people, just the idea that your experience would be radically changed. You wouldn't necessarily carry thousands of songs in your pocket. You would access them from somebody else's cloud storage system, essentially. And, you know, a lot of good things come with that. You lose a lot of things as well. And that was the main focus of what we wanted to do this week. Not talk about necessarily the business side of things or the technology side of things as much as the human experience of that shift in technology and the way we listen.
And I've been thinking a lot about when I go to these streaming services, what am I missing personally? I've had more experience, worked in record stores in the 70s and, you know, had the tangible experience that a lot of people don't have anymore. And so I started thinking about, well, what is it that that excites me about buying music, about getting music, about discovering music? What are the things we've lost in having just music that's streaming? And the thing that for years has bothered me is album art, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember the top of January in 1969, walking into EJ Corvettes, which is a department store that sold albums cheaply, going to the bins and looking at album art and saying, I commit, I'm buying this. And here's one I remember doing that for. And when I got home and put it on and heard those chords,
yeah, it paid off.
It completely paid off. It was a beautiful photograph of the Hindenburg, the Zeppelin that was exploding. And of course, the band is Led Zeppelin, the name coming from, I think it was a joke Keith Moon made to Jimmy Page, basically saying it'll go over like a lead balloon. And Page said, no, like a Led Zeppelin. And the image is kind of phallic. The thing is on fire. And it really does describe this music,
yeah,
absolutely perfectly. And I think, so I want that. I want a streaming service that gives me the ability to look at album covers and look at them and choose to listen to something without even knowing who it is. I just want to see beautiful art.
In streaming services, album art is just really another piece of metadata, right? Like, it's another reference for people who might already know what that album is, right? Like, if you know the name of the musician you want to hear, or if you know the name of the song, or if you maybe don't know exactly, but you've heard of that person, and then you want to scan down the list of things and you recognize that album art, that's the function it serves, right?
Yeah.
It's a reminder that, yes, you are listening to that thing or that person, or this is sort of what that person looks like. You just don't get, like, there's no immersive experience.
That's right.
With art, or like liner notes,
right,
or lyrics, or anything like that. And all those things exist on the internet, right? Like, you can leave the streaming service and find it by searching Google Images or whatever. Yeah. But
it's not all there when I'm mobile and moving around and sitting on my couch.
And it is hard to imagine how they would fix that. It's not an easy fix, right? Because you just lose the tangible thing.
I don't know. I look at Instagram. Instagram has these funny and maybe trivial GIFs, but I can imagine someone doing something with album art that is using that kind of technology, that is a moving piece of artwork that is creative and expansive, that you hit a button and it flips over and you see the backside, or it opens up. I mean, where's the creativity when it comes to album art? The artwork itself is good. It's less than the size of a little bit of the palm of my hand. That's wrong.
Until somebody scores a hit by doing something like that, by putting out a moving album image and it goes viral, nobody will. It won't become
a common thing. Somebody do this. And lyrics and liner notes. I want liner notes, like you say. Liner notes that I'm listening to a record. Who's that guitar player? I click it. It tells me. I hit a button and it makes a playlist of songs that guitar player.
So what you want, Bob, and this is perfect, because we don't dislike streaming services, right?
No.
Like, we think that they're amazing inventions, that the technology is great, that they do a lot of things extremely well. But what I'm hearing you say you want is you want both the past and the future. Because you don't have that second thing either, right? You don't have the ability to just automatically make a playlist based on some metadata that's contained in a song. And that would be a relatively simple database project for some developer in Spotify to do, right?
Absolutely.
Complicated because of the size and the volume of the songs in there, right? You have to tag all those things and you have to make sure that they're sorted correctly.
I can hold my phone up in a restaurant and it can tell me the song that's playing. They can do this.
Yes.
Figure this out.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that moment where you just see something and you just get it? You just commit to it. You own it.
Yeah, absolutely. It happened less and less as I got older and started buying things on MP3 instead of on CD. But every once in a while, you walk into a store. I walked into Other Music in New York in probably 2008 and saw a CD sitting on the shelf and figured, I have no idea who that is. I have never seen that in iTunes before. I would never find it in iTunes if I wanted to buy it. It's a great photo on the cover of this thing. So it sounds so meaningless to say it. It's a pair of beat-up shoes on a cover of an album. And I don't think I even listened to it. I bought it, took it home, listened to it. And, you know, it's become one of my favorite records.
Alguém passar e perguntar por mim, não esqueça de dizer até amanhã, até amanhã, até amanhã. Não esqueça de sorrir como eu tentei sorrir quando alguém lembrar. Deixa o mundo virar para sempre. Oh. Oh.
Oh. Okay, so that thing that just happened there in the song, those harmonies, in the background vocals. That was the moment that I knew that I liked this record.
And the record is?
The record is Lo Borges. He's a Brazilian singer-songwriter. This was his second record. It's just called Lo Borges. The cover photo is a pair of extremely beat-up, high-top Adidas sneakers. The album's from 1972. Those harmonies are just ripped straight from Because by the Beatles, mm-hmm. right? Like, that is straight out of that song. Which came out 3 years earlier, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing that did it with this record for me, was it put me in that moment. It put me in 1972 in Brazil, in this guy's shoes, right?
Like, literally.
In the back
yes.
cover, he's sitting on a overturned crate outside of a bakery reading the newspaper. He's got long hair and a mustache. And, like, you just knew who this guy was. You could imagine him walking around. You could imagine him listening to the Beatles and hearing those harmonies and thinking, I'm stealing that for this song.
The back cover.
Yes, yeah.
Which you never see a back cover.
Yeah, you never see the back cover anymore. That song is called Canção Postal. The record is full of really beautiful songs, of really wonderful singing. There's traditional Latin sounds in there. You can hear some flamenco in that song. It's an awesome record. It's something that I never would have found if we were limited to the way that streaming services and download stores like iTunes work today.
Which brings me a little bit to the idea of ownership, which is that...
Yeah, this is my record.
That's right. And if you put that, you heard that song, you put it on a playlist, It feels to me, and that maybe is just simply because I'm older, it feels ephemeral. It feels like I'm at the mercy of Spotify staying in business or iTunes staying in business or any of those things. And I don't feel like imagining myself as 22, which I like to do, imagining myself as 22 and putting in a playlist and then imagining myself at 42 having a child who I can play something for, whether that playlist would exist anymore. And so I love that I have this closet full of 1,000 albums and walls full of CDs that I can just pull something out and look at. And is that just old-fashioned?
It might be. I mean, I have to imagine that people are going to define ownership for themselves. I mean, for the record labels, the actual idea of ownership is completely solved by streaming, right? Back when you bought a CD and you could rip an MP3 off of it, that was a really open gray area. It was an open question.
Or make a tape when I had records.
Or make a tape when you had records, because you could pull that audio right off the thing and share it with people, and they really didn't like that. They, the record labels wanted to convince you that what you were actually doing when you bought a CD was licensing the right to listen to that music whenever you wanted to. That is the only way to do things with a streaming service, right? You click a button and you listen to it, but you don't own it. And that's a very clear relationship. But what's becoming clear to me as streaming services develop is that people are finding new ways to own music or feel ownership over music or feel connections to it. There was a piece written by Hazel Sills, who's a young writer, that basically asks this question: do we feel ownership over music that we play out of streaming services? Do we feel deep connections to it?
What's the gist of
her piece? Basically asks a bunch of listeners who primarily use streaming services whether they feel that deep connection, whether they feel that ownership. And one of the answers is yes, and in some ways more, because the playlists that you make are yours. You are taking the music out of the format that the artist intended. You are combining it with other things. She talked to one person who makes a bunch of playlists that aren't grouped by genre, that aren't grouped by artist, that aren't grouped by date. They're just grouped by mood or the utility that they serve in her life. And, you know, things like bummer jams are a really useful thing to have at your fingertips when you need them. And I can imagine going back to that playlist 20 years later. I made playlists.
What if that company goes out of business?
Or if that company goes out of business, you're out of luck.
All you think of is MySpace, or you think of Napster, or you think of, I mean, America Online wasn't, you don't think music, but you think of how they were just so present and gone, and things just feel so, it could just vanish. I mean, even when assuming Apple does some sort of release of a streaming service, well, what happens to iTunes in 8 years, you know? Will it exist? Will all my... But I have those files, at least.
You do have the files, although...
Streaming, you don't.
Although, if your computer crashes and Apple is out of business, you don't anymore. I mean, like, all of those things. Technology is much more ephemeral in a lot of ways. And, you know, like, let's remember as well that when you had vinyl records and they stopped pressing them and you scratched one, you stopped being able to listen to those songs as well.
I don't know. It's not the same thing.
Yeah. And you do still feel that ownership, and you do still feel that connection to the things that are in your collection. But... for example, when my son was born 2 years ago, I made playlists of things to listen to, like while I was trying to get him to fall asleep. And I will be surprised in 20 years when I go back and look at those playlists, and they're not lullabies. They're dance music songs, because what he wanted was to be rocked at a relatively quick pace, steadily, for a really long time. So I put on, like, I made a Todd Turgey playlist. basically a disco playlist that I could bounce him to. And I'm going to have those. Hopefully, if I have them, I can go back to them.
I put a big question mark there.
Yeah, maybe, you're probably right.
Maybe we leave it there.
The question mark is a valuable punctuation on this.
There's a great series on streaming at NPR Music. Read, comment, and tell us what you think about this.
Take an audio quiz. We put up a high-fidelity audio test for you to listen to 6 songs at 3 different audio qualities, and you can go on and listen to all of them and tell us which one you think is the highest quality. It's a fun test.
Thanks, Jacob Gans.
My pleasure, Bob.
It's the All Songs Considered Plus One podcast.
I can't help it.
Be there.
Are you playing this at the end of the show?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, all right. It's in, it's out, it's everything.